for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, August the 31st, 2019. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service, teaching on Barriers to Healing.
A vessel of honor for God. A vessel of honor for God. Sanctify holy that we might be. A vessel of honor for thee. That's what we should be living for, right? We all go through trials and troubles and struggles. But if we're living for the glory of God, we can accept whatever comes. Let me pray first. Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus and thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven. Thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. And Lord, we just praise you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And I just want to say, if there's anybody in here cursing anybody, the Bible says that the boulders you roll will roll back and crush you. The nets you hide, your own feet will be caught. And the pit you dig, you'll fall in. That's the word of God. So it's dangerous to not speak life over people. God wants us to speak life because death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we sow, we reap. And Lord, we just come before your throne and we pray that you'll dig up everything that's been planted in us that doesn't look like you. And Lord, we thank you that whatever that takes, we want to be like you, Lord. And we thank you that you're conforming us into your image through the things that we go through. And we just praise you and honor you. Thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And Lord, we take our seat in the heavenly places and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us over this meeting. In Jesus' name, we ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in Randy's life. We ask you to raise him up, touch him, heal him. We bind any spirits of infection, abscessing. We command it to leave Randy in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for Randy. We just ask you to bless him and Kelly. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Well, the title of this message is, basically it's sins that, I'm having a difficult time with my glasses. Anyway, basically it's sins that keep us from getting healed and keep us from getting delivered. Or you could just call it barriers to healing. In fact, sin is behind why we need deliverance and why we need to be healed physically. And you know, as far as anyone cursing us, the Bible says a curse without a cause cannot lie. And so whenever, you know, sometimes you think somebody's cursing me, well, let me tell you something, it can't light without a cause. And so even another example would be when Balak was trying to get Balaam to curse Israel, and he couldn't do it. But Balaam spoke to Balak about getting the children of Israel into sin, and then God judged them. And so a curse without a cause cannot light. The scripture says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. And so whenever we go through things, whatever we're going through, we need to ask God what he's trying to teach us through what we're going through. Is there a sin we need to repent of? What is the lesson in everything we go through? And you know, nothing can happen to a surrendered Christian unless God allows it. And I want to live for the glory of God, and I know you do too. And so when we live in for the glory of God, the scripture says this is the confidence you can have toward him, that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, you already have what you asked for, and you know it's God's will to glorify himself. And so in Matthew 7:8, it says, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you." Well, sometimes we ask, sometimes we seek, and sometimes we knock, and we don't understand why our prayers are not being answered. But there's reasons why God doesn't answer a prayer. The scripture says in John 13:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." And so why doesn't he do it? And so I'm going to ask Kernan to read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to read some. He's going to read Zechariah 7:11-13. And Isaiah 59:1-2.
Okay, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. That's the book of Zechariah chapter 7, that 11 through 13. In verse 11 it says, "But they refused to listen, and turned a rebellious and stubborn shoulder, and made heavy and dull their ears that they might not hear." Verse 12, "Yes, they made their hearts as an atom of stone or diamond horn, lest they should hear the law and the word which the Lord of hosts has said by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, for there came great wrath from the Lord of hosts." Verse 13. "So it came to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, he said, So they shall cry and I will not answer, says the Lord." Okay.
Another translation says they turned their back on him. And wouldn't listen, and because we wouldn't listen to him, he doesn't listen to us. Okay, the next one, Kernan.
Okay, that's the book of Isaiah.
Isaiah 59:1-2.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened at all, that it cannot save, nor his ear dull with deafness, that it cannot hear." Verse 2, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear."
And so God doesn't hear because we're not listening to him. So whenever we go through things, we need to ask him, "God, where have we not listened to you? What sin are you trying to show us? What are you trying to teach us?" Proverbs 1:23 says, "Turn to my reproof. Behold, I pour out my spirit on you and make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and you no one paid attention, and you neglected all of my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes, when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity like a whirlwind, when darkness and anguish come upon you. Then they will call to me, but I will not hear. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me." And Lord, if we've done that, we ask you to forgive us. Lord, we forgive our forefathers if they've done that. That would keep us from getting our prayers answered. "Because you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, you would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. They shall eat the fruit of their own ways and be satiated with their own devices. The waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil." Hallelujah. What wonderful promises. The scripture says in Proverbs 16:7, I believe, or 16:8, that if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So we need to examine ourselves and ask the Lord, where are our ways not pleasing you? And I'm just going to name a few of the things, and I'm sure there's many sins that would block healing or be a barrier to healing, but I'm just going to name some. And so when we're sick, we need to call for the elders of the church, the Bible says. Well, first of all, we need to ask the Lord to heal us, because by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. And then if we're not healed, we're to call for the elders of the church and let them anoint us with oil and pray. And the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the scripture goes on to say, and if you've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven you. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another, for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's important in that scripture that when we get ourselves anointed with oil to confess any sin that we have, because that's what the Bible says. Sometimes we just leave that part off. Now, I'm going to read these not necessarily in order of importance, but just as I have them down here. A barrier to healing is something that impedes or blocks your healing or your deliverance. Number one thing, and like I said, not necessary in order, is living a fruitless life. And the way you produce fruit is found in John 12:24, that says, unless a grain of wheat, and that's you, falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And so God's working in our circumstances to bring us all to death. Not physical death, but death to ourself. Because when we deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Him, then the character and nature of Jesus is manifested in our life, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. The scripture says in John 15 that if we don't bear fruit, we're cut off as a branch and thrown in the fire, and judgment comes. A lot of times we might go to the doctor and he might give us a death sentence and say, well, you only have so long to live. And so the question we need to ask ourselves, have we been living a fruitless life that would cause us to get cut off? God wants to, He wants to flow through us and live His life out through us. He's the vine and we're the branches. And so He wants us as the branches to abide in the vine, which is a picture of submitted to His Lordship, so that the life of Christ can come through us, so His life can flow through us. And you know, the life in a tree pushes off the dead leaves. And so as we abide in the vine, the Bible says faith purifies our soul. The next thing that could be a hindrance to healing is making death wishes. If you ever said, you know, I wish I was dead, I'm going to kill myself, I hate myself, I want to die, I wish someone else would die, you open yourself up to a spirit of death. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I want to say this. I discern there are some people here that have never been born again. I watch you how you kind of bored and kind of antsy. You need to get saved. God wants you to have a new life in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Another barrier to healing is sorrow that leads to death. There's a throne of grace that we can go to. At the throne of grace, we get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected at God's throne of grace. But if we don't go to the throne of grace, we come short of the grace of God and receive a root of bitterness. And so in every trial, we're to go to the throne of grace, and the scripture says that the humble get grace. So I have to humble myself to go to God, to ask Him what He's trying to teach me, what is He trying to do in my life, what is He trying to show me, and I humble myself. And that's the sorrow that leads to repentance. But the sorrow that leads to death is a picture of a person that won't go to the throne of grace and deal with it God's way, and that's the sorrow that leads to death. So, we need the sorrow that leads to repentance. In fact, we need to live a repentant lifestyle. The next blockage to healing is negativity. The scripture says that the perverse man finds no good. Everything he sees is no good. It's like it's a person that just, instead of seeing the water glass half full, he sees it half empty. Dave Wilkerson said there's a certain kind of person that can look at the stars and see mud, and there's another kind of person that can look at the mud and see stars. He's a great preacher of God. I was listening to a message to him, a message just a few days, in fact, day before yesterday, I was listening to a message, how to keep the devil out of your house. That's good. You can go online and find it. That was really good. Lauren and I are going to listen on the way to, on the way to Lindale. Whether she likes it or not, we're going to listen. She sometimes gets trapped. So being a negative person, you know, there's no place in a believer, born-again believer's life for negativity. I've kind of felt negative the last couple of days, but praise God, God's going to bring me out of it. Another is being a person that can't take correction. The Bible says that you try to help a fool and he'll hate you. You help a wise person and he'll love you. The Bible says he who loves discipline loves his own soul. whoever despises discipline hates himself. So that's one of the roots to self-hatred. When a person knows there's things that he needs to do and he doesn't do because he don't take God's correction, he despises himself. And so if you want to love yourself, whoever loves discipline loves his own soul. The scripture says in Proverbs 13:15, it says, poverty and shame will come to those who neglect discipline. The Bible tells us, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Another barrier to healing is unbelief and doubt. Fear is trusting what the devil said. Faith trusts what God says. Without a clear conscience, it's impossible for us to have a strong faith in God. The Lord showed me this years ago when I was pastoring a church. I got a crick in my back, and I kept thinking it was going to work out after about a week, and it never did. So I had an elder at the church pray for me, and this little voice said, "You're not healed." And if somebody's praying for you and you hear you're not healed, you're not, because there's still something down in your conscience that needs cleansing. And so the next Sunday, I still had a crick in my back, and so I went through all the scriptures on back. I think there was 300. I repented over all 300 of them. And while I was dressing, I heard this voice say, "You're healed," and my spirit man went, "Yes!" And I still had a crick in my back. But my spirit man, I knew that I was healed. The faith was backing up. I'd repented over 300 scriptures. And I'm not suggesting you repent over 300 scriptures, but that was how many back scriptures there were, because I had a problem. There's a scripture that says that there's a rod for the back of a fool, and that was the one that convicted me, because a lot of times I run off at the mouth and shouldn't. And so it was a spiritual rod in my back. And backsliding is one of the number one reasons, turning your back on God, backsliding is one of the number one reasons for back problems. And so, anyway, and there was another one that says, "In the mouth of a foolish is a rod for his back." And I thought, a foolish mouth. I've had a foolish mouth. But when I had a clear conscience, I mean, I had the faith to believe it, even though I still had a crick in my back. And by the time I got to church, I no longer had the crick in my back. So the Lord showed me that the scripture in 1 John 3:21 that says, "If your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God." And so if you don't have confidence before God, that means you don't have a clear conscience. There's lots of things that have been buried down in our hearts. Our heart is a spiritual garden. There's been things that have been buried down in our hearts that we've long forgotten. And so if you can't believe God in an area, in a particular area, it means that you don't have a clear conscience in that area. It also means where it says, let me quote the scripture. Clear conscience. What was the scripture? It's 1 John 3:21. If your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. And that word confidence in the Greek means faith and trust in God, but it also means freedom of speech. Now, God showed me this when I was a pastor. There was people that I had freedom of speech with, but there was other people in the congregation I didn't have freedom of speech. And God was using that to tell me that there was something about that person that was true of me, or somebody I had judged in the past, that person was reminding me of, that I didn't have a clear conscience. And so having a clear conscience means not only have faith and trust in God, but it means to have a clear conscience, and it means to have confidence before God, but it also means freedom of speech. So unbelief and doubt. And you know, fear is really what having faith in what the devil tells you. Another is failure to see and repent of sin. And the Bible says, "If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And wherever you believe a lie, you're in bondage." Lester Roloff said this about physical healing. He said, how many of you have heard of Lester Roloff? He was an old-timey gospel. He had a home for unwed mothers, I think, in Corpus Christi or in South Texas. And anyway, he was a wonderful man of God. But he said, behind every sin is sickness. No healing without sanctification. some of you, in the King James, it says, instead of sanctification, it says holiness. Some of you don't want the holy life because you don't want people to think you're a weirdo. But can I tell you that's the only way to heaven? Is to live a holy life. We see so few people living in holiness nowadays that we just think the normal Christian is to be carnal like the world. Most of the time you can't tell a church member from the world. And that's not right. God says there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life and few there be that find it. And can I tell you that the longer I live, the more narrow I know the way becomes. Things that I didn't think anything of when I was a new Christian, God wouldn't allow it today. In fact, I gave you my dessert today. That's so silly, but that's dying to my flesh really big time. Lauren and I sometimes go to a cafeteria and you see all this stuff with whipping cream on it, you know. I have to die to my flesh to pass that, go down there. Another block to healing is prescription drugs. Every side effect is another disease. And so if you're on 20 medications, you've probably got 100, at least 100 different side effects, and you're not going to get healed till you get off the drugs that will get rid of the side effects. You know, sometimes you've got something wrong with your heart, you go to the doctor and he gives you high blood pressure medicine and that can cause a headache. And then that causes something else. And you go back and say, you know, I've got a headache. He gives you something else. And then the headache causes constipation. And you go back and tell him he gives you something else. A man that works for me the other day just fell down in my driveway. He's about 75 years old and he's a handyman. He fell down in my driveway and I was really concerned about him. But you know what it was? His high blood pressure medicine was knocking him out. Since he got rid of it, he hasn't had dizziness since. He talked to his doctor about it after he quit taking it. The doctor said, don't take it anymore. But anyway, it was the side effects from his high blood pressure medicine. So every side effect becomes another disease. Prescription drugs is the number four killer of people here in the United States. Heart disease is first, second is cancer, and third and fourth is medical mistakes and prescription drugs. And I'm not telling you not to take your prescription drugs, but I'm telling you that you just need to talk to God about it. And look up the side effects. If you're on anything, look up the side effects and see, do you want that? I told a girl the other day that was going to have, she had had breast cancer, and they decided that it was clear. She didn't have any cancer cells. But they weren't going to do radiation. But he told her that that could affect her heart and her lungs. And I said, do you want three problems or just one? Anyway, you have to use your head. If you can watch these commercials with these drug commercials. I mean, do you want all that stuff that the side effects that the TV even warns you that you could have? So use God's wisdom. And we don't ever tell anybody not to take their medication because that's between you and God. Okay, sins of the tongue. I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm a failure, I'm no good. Nobody will ever want me, etc., etc. I heard a preacher that I admire very much said the other day that the sins of the tongue was behind sickness. And I thought, I don't know if I agree with that. And then I started thinking about it. Well, if what's in your heart comes out your mouth, and by your words you're justified or condemned, it's certainly true. The sins of the tongue are the root of your sickness, because what you say comes out your mouth, and as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Does the scripture say that? We need God's wisdom. Another is a soul that's not prospering. Third John said, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So a prospering soul will be the key to good health and also living a prosperous life. We don't get a prospering soul by watching TBN or one of these preachers that are not telling you to get your heart right with God. But you get a prospering soul through being in the Word of God and through an intimate relationship with the Lord, through waiting on the Lord, as Deborah said. The scripture says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise the Lord. You know, the eagle gets at a high peak and waits for the wind just to be a certain way, and then he soars off. And the scripture says that we'll mount up with wings of eagles, and we'll run and not be weary, and we'll walk and not faint. The next blockage to healing and deliverance is unconfessed sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So we have to confess our sin. And, you know, if you're just saying, Lord, forgive me for all my sin, you know, that's a start. But God wants you to name them specifically. Even when you forgive your mother and father, you've got to forgive them specifically, not generally, for healing and deliverance to take place, because every place that your parents wounded you and you let the sun go down on your anger, you've got a wound there. And with those wounds is hurt, resentment, bitterness, anger, pride, fear, etc., etc., etc. And some of you are like a firecracker ready to go off. The Bible says that an angry man must bear the penalty, and of course the penalty is demonization. And then covered over sin, having secret sins that you're covering over. The scripture says in Proverbs 28:13, he who covers over his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes it shall find mercy. Proverbs 32 says, when I keep silent about my sin, my body wasted away. That word wasted away in the Hebrew means became old and worn out. So it's important to confess your sin and to turn from your sin. Repentance means you change your mind. You're going a direction and it's wrong, but to repent means you turn around and go the opposite direction. Another is a lying spirit. And if you were here yesterday morning, I taught on a lying spirit. But having a lying spirit, if it's the truth that sets you free and you believe the lie, then the scripture says if you're a person that loves and practices lying, you'll not even inherit the kingdom of God. So, in fact, the scripture says in Revelation 22 that if you love and practice liar, you'll not even enter heaven. It says that there. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says no liar, no adulterer, fornication, a reviler, slanderer, effeminate, homosexual, thief will enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's a list of sins that we have. God doesn't tolerate a lying spirit because Satan is the father of lies. And if we lie, we're being a mouthpiece for the devil. So we need the truth that sets us free. The scripture says that liars go astray from birth. And that's especially, I'm concerned that's especially true in people that have lived a homosexual lifestyle. My son lied his whole life, and it's a perverse spirit, which means steadfast. Perverse means crooked, and it means stubborn to do evil, whereas steadfast means to be stubborn for the things of God. Another barrier is failure to find the spiritual roots of something, and you do that through abiding in the Word. And you'll know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Last night I went through all the scriptures on I yesterday and repented over all of them. And I'd done that before, but I did it again. Proverbs 25 says, the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. God says, you'll find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. That means all of your heart, not loving something plus Jesus. Is not that God doesn't want us to love things, but he's got to be first place. Another is ignorance of God's Word. If Jesus Christ is the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. If Jesus is the Word of God, we can't be ignorant of his Word, because the Bible says that he sent his Word to heal you. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, because they hated knowledge, because they rejected knowledge. Another barrier to healing is fear. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Fear is behind the autoimmune diseases. Every fear has to be dealt with in your life if you're going to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord will be exalted. And so the Bible says fear has torment. Romans 8 says that we can't live after the flesh. If we live after the flesh, we'll die. But if we're being putting to death the deeds of the body, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It says we have not received a spirit of fear leading to slavery again, but we've received a spirit whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. And so a spirit, King James says a spirit of bondage. And so if we don't walk in the Spirit, we'll be walking in fear. And that's a yoke of slavery, it says in Romans 8:13. God says, fear not and be not dismayed. Scripture says perfect love casts out fear. And the way I deal with fear, and you can deal with it however you want to, but you know Abraham took his Isaac up the mountain and was going to put a knife to him when God stopped him. And so I take my idols, what makes me fearful, angry, hurt, scared, I take it up the mountain like Abraham took up Isaac. And the scripture says this is the confidence you can have toward him. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, you already have what you asked for. Now, if you're not living for the glory of God, that's not good news. But if you're living for the glory of God, you know God's going to answer that prayer. So you can accept whatever happens knowing that God's going to get glory out of it. Now, if it's not, if there's no fear there, God says you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy will be full, may be full. And so I take, that's how I deal with fear, is I take it up the mountain, whatever I'm going through, if it's stressing me, if it's making me fearful, or if it's stressing me, or if I'm angry, or if it discourages me or depresses me, I say, Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? What he's going to do? God, if that brings you greater glory and honor, so be it. The devil, you can't touch me. Because how dare you think that you can touch anyone who's in the hands of God, on the potter's wheel, in the hands of God. And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. That's saying, God, I trust you so much with my life that you know what I need, who I need, when I need it, and when to give it to me. And Lord, I don't want it if it wouldn't glorify you the most. And it takes, you have to be willing to crucify yourself. That's what the scripture means. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And perfect love. If we live in fear, fear has torment. And I've shared this before. Some of these things I've shared with some of these people, but I'm going to share it again. My son was living a homosexual lifestyle, and I was had watched a crack commercial, and I was driving down the road, and a fear hit me. What if he takes crack? But the Spirit of God just took me over and said, God, if that's the only way he can know you is to take crack, I ask you in the name of Jesus, give him crack. The devil, you can't give it to him, in Jesus' name. My grandson was going to join Marines, which is an honorable thing to want to serve your country, but it was when we had a president that did not support the military, and I knew he was called to preach the gospel. And so I agreed for 3 months that he was going to join the Marines. And I also, all the shots they give you and all that kind of stuff. And finally one day I practiced what I preached. I said, God, if it glorify you the most to put David in the Marines, I ask you in the name of Jesus, put him in the Marines. The devil, you won't put him there in Jesus' name. Just a few months after that, he hurt his knee, and that ended his military career. And my son, who's my pastor, who lives about 300 yards from me, at one time he moved to Maine, took my grandkids with him, and I just had to let him go. And I said, Lord, if I never see him again, all I ask is that you put him wherever he would glorify you the most. And devil, you can't do it in Jesus' name. And now that son's my pastor, and he lives 300 yards from me. You see, the devil will drive you crazy with fear. It's like you have to call his bluff. Lord, you hear what the devil's trying to tell me? God, if that would bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. But devil, you can't touch me in Jesus' name. Now, some of you have heard that over and over and over, but I can tell you that's the perfect love that casts out fear. There may be another way you can let go of it, but that's how I do it. That's how Abraham did it. You know, when he went up the mountain, he said, "My son and my I will return." He knew that God told him he was going to be the father of many nations. And even if Isaac was killed, he was going to come back down with him. And he said, "We're going up to worship." You see, that's a form of worshiping when you can give it to God. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Let go of your life that you might find it." Your life is whatever's stressing you out. Your life is your family, or it's your money, or it's your health, or whatever it is. It's idolatry. And so you have to let it go. Jesus said, "You hold on to your life, you lose it. But if you let go of your life, you'll find it." So your life is whatever you're letting stress you out. What's depressing you. And then soul ties is another reason why people don't get healed. A soul tie, you can be joined to another person like a thread, like a string, like a rope, like a cable, like a chain, depending on the depth of sin that you've been involved with a person. Through soul ties, you get the mental problems, the addictions, the emotional problems, the demons, the familiar spirits, and if it's a woman, you get the DNA of who you have sex with. And so I see more people heal through breaking soul ties than any other thing. When you have a soul tie with someone, you have received a part of them and they've received a part of you. So that's why I pray, "Lord, I send back their parts and I call back my parts." And however you want to pray that, you don't have to even, you know, you don't even have to break your soul ties that way. I started breaking soul ties that way because I read where the children of Israel exchanged the glory of God for an image in the form of an ox that eats grass. And then I started looking up image and doing a word study on image. And what we go through is supposed to conform us to the image of Christ, but if you've got a soul tie with somebody, you're being conformed into their image. If somebody's controlling you, you're being conformed into their image. And I want to say this to the men. You let your wife control you, and she's going to hate you. God wants you to love her like Christ loves the church, but God wants you to be a spiritual leader over your home. You have tremendous authority. Numbers 30 says that if a man hears his wife speak a curse, or his daughter, and I believe it means his son too, speak a curse, the day she speaks it, if he hears it and he breaks it, it won't stand. But if he hears it and lets it go, it stands. So as a man, you have the spiritual authority to be the priest of your home. And so don't let your wife control you. And let me tell you, if your wife speaks Jesus to you, you better listen. Right? You know what? God taught me a long time ago the difference between a demon's voice and God's voice. God says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they obey me, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger." The voice of a stranger is the voice of another. And that voice of another is any voice that doesn't line up with the Word of God. And if you let anybody control you, you're living the life of the controller. You're not even living the life that God's got you here for. I'm serious. And God's not pleased with that. God wants you to live the life that He foreordained for you to live. If you don't live the life that God foreordained you to live and you let someone else control you, can I tell you it results in defeat and failure and regret. I know people that let their wives control them and they live in regret because they're letting her be the Holy Spirit in her life, in their life. God hates that. He is the Holy Spirit. He don't want someone else being your Holy Spirit. But God's told me that if a 2-year-old is speaking Jesus to me, I would not dare not listen. But if the King of England was telling me something demonic, I don't have to listen, even though God tells me to submit to authority as unto the Lord. Right? So if your wife is telling you something that you need to listen to, you better. Or anybody, not just your wife. Praise the Lord. No woman wants a man she can control, but yet she'll do whatever she can to control. So don't let it happen. Another is trusting. Well, let me go back to soul ties. What I want you to do is I want you to stand up, and we're going to break soul ties. If somebody hits you in the stomach when you're 13 years old and you let the sun go down on it, 50 years later you're looking for a reason for a stomach problem. Or if you were beat, I remember in one seminar that I taught in Round Rock, Texas, it was about 12 people, women, healed in the behind area because their parents had beat them with boards and spanked them and did it in an abusive way. And when they forgave and broke soul ties, they were healed. You can have soul ties with animals. I've seen people heal. An animal would have a lame leg, and they would have the same lame leg because they had a soul tie with an animal. The scripture says, when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one suffers, we all suffer. So you need to break soul ties. We even break soul ties when we pray for people. When we go home, we break soul ties with the people we pray for. Don't let anyone lay hands on you too suddenly. Make sure the people that lay hands on you are people that are walking uprightly before the Lord. There's lots of... the Bible wants holy hands laid on you, and this is not talking about perfect people because everybody's a work in progress, but it means that somebody that is as submitted to God as they know how to be. And I'll tell you that our prayer team is. And we don't want people on our prayer team that are not 100% yielded. They were all imperfect, unperfect people, but only as people are 100% surrendered to the Lord do we want anybody praying for anybody here in this meeting. Bless the Lord. And I thank God for the prayer team we have. Every one of them, they're the strongest prayers that I've ever prayed with. And in 15 minutes, we do more in a prayer meeting than I've heard in 50 years in the church. In 15 minutes, we get more ground covered. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. I thank God they're praying for me. So, soul ties. You get soul ties. You know, Jonathan and David had a good soul tie, so you can have good soul ties. But demonic soul ties are based on lust, not love. And so, ask God to show you. Anybody you've had sex with, I remember praying for, I shared this yesterday, but there's been new people come in, so I'll share it again. I've had a man that had been into a homosexual lifestyle. He emailed me and wanted to know if I had any insights into pain, excruciating pain in his rectum. And I said, yes. I mean, the Holy Spirit showed me. I said, break soul ties with anyone you've had anal sex with that's hurt you there. He emailed me back in 15 minutes. He said the minute he broke soul ties with a particular person, the pain left. And I can tell you story after story. I could speak all day on people I've seen healed through breaking soul ties. Sometimes I share the same stories because those are the ones that come to my mind. Okay, trusting. Okay, so Lord, in Jesus' name, show me every person I've ever had sex with, I've ever sinned against, or who's ever sinned against me, or any person I've ever done evil with. Show me every soul tie. I ask in Jesus' name, for the truth that sets me free. And then just let God show you, and then I'll break the soul ties in the whole group. But just forgive each person God shows you, anybody you've had sex with. Ask God to forgive you for anything you've done with them. Just repent of the sin involved. If you're in the medical, you need to break soul ties with your patients because the medical profession, technically, is sorcery. And you need to break soul ties with whoever you lay hands on or whoever you treat. When you go home in the afternoons, you need to break soul ties. Thank God for Good Samaritans. Thank God for medical. Praise God. And then you said, now when you're through, it includes pornography, bestiality, pedophile, molestation, rape. Is everybody back there through? I can't see what's back there. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for everything I've done with the person you just showed me. Forgive me for adultery, fornication, pedophile, molestation, rape, fornication, perversion, pornography. God, I ask you to forgive me for lewdness, lust, wanton spirits. Forgive me for orgies. Forgive me for homosexuality, bestiality, sodomy, masturbation, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, the other people that you've shown me that I've sinned with and sinned against, that who've sinned against me and hurt me, I forgive them all. I break soul ties with all of them. I cut and sever every cord of control linking their souls and their human spirits to my soul and human spirit. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now every demonic spirit that came in through demonic soul ties has to leave now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Cough. Come out, all soul ties, all defilement, all unclean spirits, all spiritual perversion. Come out. I cut their yokes, all the yokes off of people. Yokes of slavery I break. All spirits of fear, resentment, bitterness, hurt. Come out. Unforgiveness, torture, torment, homosexuality. Come out now. Lying spirits. Come out now in the name of Jesus. All spirit of fear, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, depression, discouragement, despondency, mental illness, emotional sickness, come out now in Jesus' name. Confusion, lunacy, come out. Confounding, come out in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Take a deep breath and blow out. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Okay, the next thing, and you can get a whole teaching on soul ties. The camp has it here, LHBC online. I think it's free to listen to. And you can get, you can see more reasons for soul ties. And so, praise the Lord. The next one is trusting in man rather than God, and that includes doctors and psychiatrists. And Jeremiah 5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. So, you better make sure whatever you do, you're not trusting the man or the woman. That's in Jeremiah 5. Another is anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. If somebody hurts you and you let the sun go down on your anger, the scripture says you give a foothold to the devil, and the next day it's unforgiveness, and the next day it's bitterness, and bitterness is like drinking poison waiting for someone else to die. I personally believe that unforgiveness and bitterness and anger is behind sickness and sin, are the need for us to get forgiven. You know, by what you go through, you can get better or better. And I want to choose better. Jesus said in Matthew 6, I believe, that if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. It says in Matthew 18 that if you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors, which are demons that inflict pain. It's the pain of disease. An inquisitor is a jailer that stretches someone out of a rack and tortures them till they get what they want. You have to forgive yourself. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not an emotion. You choose to do it because you choose Jesus more than you choose the demon of unforgiveness. And so to forgive means that you're sitting on your judge's bench and you're judging somebody for hurting you or whatever. And to forgive means that you walk over to God's courtroom where He's on the throne. And usually what people do to you in the present that hurts you is the same thing mother and daddy did to you, and you're just reaping it. You know, for example, if you judge your mother and father for not loving you, your life is not going to go well in that way, because it says that in Deuteronomy 5:16, if you don't honor your mother and father, life isn't going to go well. So you could stand up right now and say, Lord, where's my life not going well? And you could trace it back to dishonoring mother and father. And that means to dishonor means, or honor them means you forgive them by sundown. You honor the position. That doesn't mean that you have to enable them or support them in their drug habit or if they're evil, even fellowship with them. But it means that you forgive them. And usually if your parent does it right, then basically you're not hurt in areas as much. I mean, you can get over it quicker. But if your parent doesn't love you and you judge them, that's going to keep you reaping people. The law of sowing and reaping says you're going to keep on reaping people that don't love you. Or if you're always controlled growing up and you make some kind of vow and you judge your parents for it, because the scripture says that fathers provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So wherever a parent doesn't train up a child in the way he should go, he provokes him to anger. And so say you're controlled and you promise yourself that you're never going to be controlled. Well, guess what? You'll marry a controller. You'll either be a controller yourself or you'll marry one, and that sets you up to be controlled, controlled, controlled. So you see what I'm trying to say. If you're trying to forgive someone in the present, you also have to forgive your mother and father for doing the same thing or not doing what they should have done. And then you put them all in God's courtroom and you shut the door and rest your case. And knowing that God says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, and the law of sowing and reaping will catch them. Now, if you put them in there wanting the law of sowing and reaping to catch them, you get caught. But you put them in there, you release them to God, knowing that they're going to get more, same, and later than what they do to you. And so that's how you can release it. That's what to forgive means. You transfer one case from your courtroom where you're the judge to God's courtroom. Okay? So, and every time you let the sun go down on your anger, you give a stronghold, foothold to the devil. That doesn't just go away. That stronghold stays until you confess it. Praise God, God doesn't ask you to deal with everything at one time. That's why when you go through a problem, he wants to show you maybe somebody you haven't forgiven. So why don't you stand up and let's deal with people you need to forgive. The Lord, and I've shared this before, but I'm going to keep on sharing it because it tells you how you can forgive. You know, most of you know your need to forgive, and you say the words, I forgive, and then a week later you're still arguing with them in your head, or a month later you're still arguing with them in your head, or a year later you're still arguing with them in your head. You haven't forgiven them because it's a heart issue. Jesus said in Matthew 18 that you have to forgive from the heart. And so one day I went out to lunch with someone. The Lord showed me how to forgive. I got in a disagreement with this girl, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry, and I said the next day I was still arguing with her in my head. And I said, Lord, she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry, why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. The Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. So I did, and it was over. And so some of you have tried to forgive and said the words, but it didn't want to go away because you got to deal with mother and daddy. You got to go back and forgive your mother and daddy for what our grandparents, for what these turkeys did to you in the present. Now, if it's not a heart issue, you can quickly forgive. Or if Lorna may say, well, forgive me for what I said yesterday. And I'll say, well, what did you say? Oh, I didn't think nothing of that. But I'm telling you, if it had been a mother and daddy issue, I'd have thought something of it. Amen? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Let me know who I haven't forgiven. And just sit down when you're through. Lord, thank you that I don't have to feel like forgiving. That's a choice. And I choose to forgive all the people that you've shown me. I forgive my mother and father. Everybody pray with me. I forgive my mother and father for doing the same thing to me these people have done, or not doing what they should have done. That relates to these people. In the name of Jesus, I forgive myself. I break soul ties with every person that I have not forgiven. I call back my soul and human spirit from them, send back their souls and spirits to them, exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I command all tormenting spirits to go, all sickness, distress, disease, bitterness. Pray with me, Lord, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Giving a foothold, a stronghold to the devil in the name of Jesus. Lord, I forgive all these people for everything they did to me, and I thank you, Lord, for teaching me how to forgive. I choose to do it. I get off my judge's bench. I walk these people over to your courtroom. I take my mother and daddy with them, my grandparents, and Lord, I just put them in your courtroom, and I close the door and I rest my case. I thank you and praise you, Lord. Bless you, bless you. All spirits of torment, sickness, distress, disease, bitterness, resentment, anger, every spirit that came in to let the sun go down on their anger and not honoring their mother and father, come out now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord, for being so faithful to teach us. Take a deep breath. Go out. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Another barrier is taking the Lord's Supper with sin in your life. In all the years I've been in church, have not heard any pastor say, don't take the Lord's Supper with sin in your life. So the scripture says that if you take the Lord's Supper without examining yourself and being prayed up and confessed up, some of you are weak, sick, and die. So Lord, forgive me for any time I took the Lord's Supper with sin in my life. Another is participating in occult worship, worship of false gods, making covenants with people who worship false gods, being involved with groups of people that deny the blood atonement of Jesus and the deity of Jesus, being in false religions, Freemasonry, coming out of Catholicism, which is bell worship, worship of the Pope, worship of Mary. Another barrier to healing is bringing an accursed thing into your home. You come under the curse. Deuteronomy 4:16 says, so that you may not act corruptly and make a graven image in the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of all fish that is in the waters below the earth. And do not, and beware that you do not worship, that your eyes are worship, or lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars and the host of heaven and be drawn away to worship them or serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to the peoples under the whole heavens. Acts 19:19 says they bought all their occult things, their occult books, and burned them, and the gospel spread. Deuteronomy 7:25-26 says, the graven images of their gods you're to burn with fire. You're not to covet the silver or the gold on them. In other words, I remember telling a lady who had her husband was dead. She had his Masonic ring, and she didn't want to get rid of it because it had gold. It was gold. So she was coveting the gold that was on it. Sometimes you think what you've got so valuable is bringing a curse to your house. Is you shall not covet the silver or the gold that's on them, nor take it for yourselves, or you will be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring an abomination into your house and like it, come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. You come to my house, there's not anything in my house that could bring any kind of a curse into the house. I might have some books I need to throw away, and they're supposed to be Christian books, right? Gone are the days when you read books that are written by writers like Andrew Murray and Spurgeon and some of the great men of God. Now what's going on in the church today, most of it is not even scriptural. Another is spoken curses that we speak on ourselves and we speak on others. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Another is generational curses. I'll look to see what's coming down the bloodline at perversion, cancer, sickness, disease, blindness. All this is coming down the bloodline. You need to break generational curses. Pride. The Bible says that God sees the haughty from afar. The humble get grace. It says in Job 41, that Leviathan is king over all the sons of pride. So in any area that you're walking in pride, Leviathan is king over that area of your life. Another is to be a failure to be anointed with oil. Another is failure to have people, godly people, lay hands on you. Idolatry, that's loving anything more than you love Jesus. In fact, all sin is idolatry. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. Sitting under false teachers, Luke 7:48 says, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So make sure whoever's teaching you is as submitted to God as they know how to be. Another is vexation, which means grief, anger, wrath, provocation, hurt, and idolatry, because in my pain I didn't turn to God. God says, remove vexation from your heart and you can put pain out of your body. So wherever there's pain, there's vexation, which is grief, sorrow, anger, provocation, hurt, and idolatry. And it's idolatry because anytime I go through something and I don't turn to God, I got till sundown to deal with it. If I don't turn to God, I turn to a false god. And that's the root of idolatry. I mean, that's the root of vexation. That's Ecclesiastes 11:10. Another is to live a lifestyle of an angry, agitated personality. An angry man must bear the penalty, and that's demonization. Anger is connected to a hot wire that's connected to an idol. And you have to dismantle that hot wire in order to get over your anger. And you can be angry about 500 different things, or more than that even. Another is a lack of persevering. Sometimes we come to a meeting and you get freedom, and then two or three days later, you think it comes back. It didn't mean you didn't get delivered. It just means that you had a bunch of layers taken off, and deliverance is like peeling an onion. And I encourage you to keep coming. Those of you who've been coming over the last months, can you testify with me that every time you go home, you're different? Put your hand up if that's true. So I encourage you to come as often as you can come. Come to all the camps until you get the freedom that you want. And then by then you'll know how to walk it out on your own without coming to a camp. And it's not that you even need a deliverance to minister, because, you know, deliverance is just James 4:7. Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. But sometimes deliverance ministers have an insight into some things through years of ministering to people that helps you have the truth that sets you free.
Yes.
But basically, you've got the same power. You've got Jesus in you. Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. That's why sometimes when I ask you to repent, before I ever tell the demons to go, they're leaving you before I ever say go, because you're repenting. So don't give up and quit and lose heart. Another is living a lifestyle of unrest, which is a curse. There's only one way to find rest, and that's to get on the potter's wheel. What does the clay do? It rests on the potter's wheel. The scripture says one of the curses is, God, there'll be no resting place for the sole of your feet, trembling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. And so the way you have rest is, Jesus says in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, right? Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you'll find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. Right? Okay, so that's the place of rest, and that's why it's a curse. If you're living a lifestyle of unrest, you've got the wrong yoke on your neck. You can have your own yoke, you can have your mate's yoke, you can have your boss's yoke, you can have the yoke of another person, and it brings no rest. Jesus is the one that gives you rest. So, lift your hands to heaven. Well, first of all, I want you to go ahead and stand up. Ask the Lord to show you anybody that's controlled you or has their yoke on your neck. And when you see that person, forgive them and then just sit down. It can be a quick thing. Lord, I break off their yokes. I break off all self-inflicted yokes. Lord, I've had a yoke on my own yoke on my neck. And I repent. I break it off. I break off all yokes that are not your yoke. I break soul ties with every person who's put their yoke on my neck. I cut and sever every cord of control linking their souls to my soul. I call back my soul and spirit from them, send back their souls and spirits to them, exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now break all yokes in Jesus' name. Now lift your hands to heaven and say, Lord, I come to you. I've been weary, worn out, and I take your yoke on my neck. And I want to learn from you. You teach me. And you're gentle and humble. And thank you. I receive your yoke. And Lord, I ask you to bring down your yoke from heaven to yoke their necks with the yoke of Jesus that brings rest. All spirits of unrest has to leave. I break that curse of disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments that would cause there to be no resting place for the sole of their feet, trembling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. Has to go. I break that curse in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Hardness of heart. Some of you have hardened your heart where you won't let anybody in. God says today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Another is ingratitude. If God inhabits your praises, who do you think inhabits your moans and groans? Psalms 50, verse 23 says, "Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and whoever orders his conversation aright, I will show him my salvation." Hallelujah. And another thing is attention getting. Some of you grew up without any attention, and y'all do anything to get attention. And you don't want to get healed, because if you got healed, you wouldn't get attention anymore. So why don't you stand up, and let's ask the Lord to show you any sin that you need to repent of, that you haven't, and then I'll do the group thing, and then we'll be through. Anything else the Lord's showing you, just sit down when you're through. Lord, forgive me that I turned my back on you, turned a stubborn shoulder to you, stopped up my ears, refused to listen to wise counsel. Forgive me for thinking I'm so smart and intelligent, smarter than you. God, that's wrong. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not calling for the elders of the church. Forgive me for not asking you what you're trying to teach me. Forgive me for not looking for the sin behind what I'm going through. Forgive me for living a fruitless life, wishing I was dead, wishing someone else was dead, vowing I'm going to kill myself. Forgive me for not going to your throne of grace and having the sorrow that leads to death and a root of bitterness. Forgive me for coming short of the grace of God. Forgive me for being negative. Forgive me for being a person that sees the half glass water half empty. Lord, forgive me for not taking correction. Forgive me for just being wise in my own eyes and thinking I'm so intelligent that I have to use my good sense. Lord, thank you that you're our good sense. Forgive me for refusing to repent of sin. God, show me prescription drugs that I'm on that's causing other problems. Forgive me for sins of the tongue, cursing myself, cursing others. Forgive me for not having a prospering soul. Everybody pray. Forgive me for having unconfessed sin in my life. I want to say this. If you're ministering deliverance, you better not ever minister deliverance unless you're prayed up and confessed up. Because that's a good way to get whatever you... Be like the sons of Sceva. I know so-and-so and I know you, but who are you? Amen? Get your clothes ripped off. I know a pastor that was so wise in his own eyes. I mean, he had a doctorate degree of this great big church. And he was in a deliverance session, and the demon told everything about him. I know what you're into. Totally. Because the demons know. I mean, they know more things than we do. Forgive me for holding unconfessed sin and covering over my sin. Forgive me for secret sin. Everybody pray. God, forgive me for not searching matters out. Forgive me for ignorance of God's Word, not reading your Word. Forgive me for rejecting knowledge. I've been perishing, Lord, because I reject knowledge. Forgive me for fear, faith in what the devil says, instead of faith in what you say. Forgive me for trusting in man and the power of the flesh. Forgive me for all the times I've let the sun go down on my anger because the Lord suffered with sin in my life. Forgive me for participating in occult worship, occult books, occult movies, occult internet. God, forgive me for Harry Potter and all these demonic books. Stephen King. God, forgive me for all of these... Forgive me for having a fascination with the occult and planting those seeds down in my heart. Forgive me for planting seeds of lust, perversion, witchcraft. Forgive me for bringing an accursed thing in my home. And Lord, I pray that when I look at something that you don't want me to have, that you'll take away my peace. If I'm supposed to have it, increase my peace. Lord, I ask you to break the snare. Forgive me for graven images. Forgive me for greed, coveting the silver and gold that are on the things that I've been hanging on to. Forgive me for bringing an abomination into my house. I forgive anyone that spoke curses over me. I forgive my mother and father for saying I'm a failure, no good. I'll never amount to anything. Nobody will ever love me or want me. Or I'll never have a husband. I'll never have a wife. I'll never succeed. I'm a zero. I'm a nothing. I'm worthless. I break the power of every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over any person in this room and over myself too. And Lord, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of everything I've confessed. I break soul ties with my forefathers. Cut every soul tie in Jesus' name. Forgive me for pride. I humble myself. I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. Forgive me for idolatry, sitting under false teachers. God, show me all the vexation of my heart that's caused pain in my body. I want to put it away, Lord. Put it aside. Forgive me for living a lifestyle of an angry, agitated life, lacking perseverance. Forgive me for wanting to give up and quit. Living a lifestyle of unrest, Lord. Forgive me for ingratitude, moaning, groaning. Forgive me for attention getting. In Jesus' name, Lord, I repent of my sin. I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I choose death to myself. I choose to give up my life that you might find it. I might find it. I choose to forgive everyone that you've shown me in Jesus' name. I break soul ties with every person that I have sinned with, sinned against, or who's hurt me, or who's been sexually involved with me. I cut and sever all soul ties with demonic soul ties with my parents in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command every spirit to leave now in Jesus' name. Sickness, distress, disease has to go. Torture, torment. Inquisitors, you have to go. Grief, sadness, sorrow has to leave. In Jesus' name, I break your power. In Jesus' name, all wounded spirits, I speak healing over every wounded spirit. Lord, I press them out. I bandage them. I soften them with oil. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they may be an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now go, every demon power. Take a deep breath, cough it out, blow it out in Jesus' name. Fear of man, all spirits of witchcraft control, all spirits that cause any person to be controlled. Fear of not being controlled has to go in Jesus' name. Fear of women, fear of men, hatred for women has to go now in Jesus' name. All spirit of grief, sadness, sorrow, leave now in Jesus' name. Broken heart has to go. Pain has to leave their body. Vexation has to go. Grief, sadness, sorrow, provocation, hurt, leave now. In Jesus' name, we break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Blindness has to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, torment, torture, sickness has to leave now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, go now in Jesus' name. Cataracts, glaucoma, eye disease, macular degeneration of the eyes, Parkinson's disease, cancer, high blood pressure, depression, discouragement, despair, hopelessness. Spirit of death has to go now. Spirit of suicide has to go. I break the bondage of prescription drugs in Jesus' name. I break the bondage of psychiatric drugs in Jesus' name. I break the bondage of perversion. I tear down these strongholds in the name of Jesus. I tear down every stronghold of hatred, variance, strife, emulation, jealousy, envy, covetousness, unforgiveness, torture, torment. I tear down these strongholds, mind control. I tear down these strongholds, confounding. I tear down the strongholds in Jesus' name. I tear down every stronghold of depression. I'll tear down every stronghold of sickness and disease. Infirmity has to go in Jesus' name. I cast down every imagination, every high, lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I take captive in Jesus' name every thought to the obedience of Christ. I punish every disobedience because my obedience is complete. In Jesus' name, every demon has to go. Take a deep breath, give it a good cough, and command them out in Jesus' name. You come out now in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up your banners, let the anthems ring. Praises to the King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Praise you, Lord. Vessel of honor, dear God. Vessel of honor, dear God. Sanctify holy that I might be a vessel of honor for Thee. Yes, Lord, that's what we want. Bless you, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to receive. We ask you to bless it, purify it, and sanctify it. Bless the hands that made it. Refresh all those in the kitchen. Renew them. God, encourage them. Bless them. Strengthen them for all the hard work that they've done here at this camp, Lord. Bless Patty. Bless Kevin. Bless Dan. Bless Crystal. Bless the children, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless Linda. God, we ask you to bless all the prayer team and every person that's here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.